Welcome to our New Life Podcast. I'm Pastor Selvin, inviting you to follow us each week as we dive into God's Word together. Praying this message is a blessing to you and encourages you to draw closer to God. Let's jump right in. Amen. New Life Church, how are you? How's everyone doing? You guys doing great? I'm doing great. I'm so excited to be here. It feels like we were just here last week. I know that's not true, but that's what it feels like. And that's what we want to get to. Are you with me? Every week we want to get together. And so can you just follow me along? Thank you for the announcements. They were great. Thank you for the worship team, everyone that's here with us. You're going to think I'm crazy, but can you follow me along for 1 second? Let's just give a hand to everybody that's watching us online. Amen. So if you're watching us online, welcome to New Life. It's a pleasure. Write in the chat where you're watching us from. Nobody's watching. Okay, everybody, nobody, we're not live. We're not online yet. Tell the person next to you, we're not online yet. But we will be. And so, guys, I don't know if that's prophesying, but we're saying and we're believing that this message is going to go across to every corner of the world. Amen. I'm believing that with you. I'm believing that for us, for New Life Church at Nouvelle Vie. And so, thank you for following me in my craziness. But here we go. Before I begin, I want to thank you again for your continued support in prayer. We are building New Life Church, and I feel it. I feel the presence of your prayers for us, for New Life Church, for me specifically. Thank you so much for that. But I also want to encourage you and invite you to help me pray and help us pray for the rest of the new Nouvelle Vie Network, all of the multi-sites, and especially in my heart, I've had for a couple of months now, I've had in my heart to pray for Nouvelle Vie Québec. Nouvelle Vie Québec, they don't have their own building yet, right? They will soon. And so we're praying for that. We're praying for God to open the doors for them to have their own place of worship as they are doing 3 services during the Sundays in Cégep. And so just join me in praying and helping to pray for that, because I believe that God is going to raise up the city of Quebec. He's doing it now, and now they need a place to worship God, a place to call their home. Amen. So will you join me with that in that prayer? Thank you so much. So prayer. Yeah, prayer is powerful. We said that New Life, Nouvelle Vie, is built on the foundation of prayer. And that's where we're at. But prayer is not this sort of mystical, got to go into a trance and all of a sudden, boom, something's going to happen. No. In fact, if you read, we're going to get into it, but if you read in Nehemiah, he was in front of a king, and while the king asked him a question, check this out, the king asked him a question, and immediately he started to pray. But it wasn't like a 10-minute prayer. He said, God, give me the words. What do I say? The king asked him, what would you like me to do? And he said, God, help me. And God gave him exactly what he needed to ask. And it was given to him. You're going to see that in a second. So that's what prayer is all about. It's really expressing verbally what we know that we have in our minds up here. So we express to God, we vocalize our desires. And sometimes, people pray all the time. And we might not even notice it. And so I want to show you this cool little image that I was contracted to do. Some of you know that I'm a photographer, but I also take pictures of people, yeah, but I also take pictures of architecture. And so I got contracted to do commercial photography work. This shot right here was taken with a drone. It was an amazing time. But what do you see? Do you recognize it? Downtown Montreal, right? Is there anything else you see? I'll tell you what you probably don't see. Check this out. I am right there. That's me, right there. I'm like a pixel. And so that's me in there. You probably didn't notice it, but there's a big parking lot. Do you see the parking lot there? So everywhere in Montreal where you see a parking lot, it's probably going to be turned into some condominium, some building, but it requires vision. It requires a certain type of person to look at this image and be like, okay, I don't see the buildings. I see an empty space right in the middle. What can I do with that empty space? What can I do with that empty space? What can I build there? How can I build something for a community there? See, some people, when we see this, we see an empty space, an empty parking lot. Some people are seeing their home. If that gets built into a condominium, that's going to be people's homes. People are actually going to live on that little piece of land. And while I was there, that land, do you want to know something about it? I know it looks kind of cool right there, but it is on a hill. Like, it is just on a pendant. It's just going down. And I'm just wondering, how in the world is anybody going to build something straight up from this? I'm not an architect. I just take the pictures, all right? So I got, it was interesting because I got the plans for this building. They gave me the plans, the architectural plans, and my job, believe it or not, was to stand in the middle there, and at every corner of this parking lot, I had to fly the drone at different heights until we got up to the 38th floor. Do you know why? I thought this was crazy. They wanted to know what the view would be like at the different levels so that according to the view, the price increases. So that was really interesting. They wanted to know what the view was going to be like so they could build around the view, around the balconies. And so I had to do that. And that was really, really the moment that I knew there is something great that's going to happen. And I wanted to. I've been asking God, and I've been praying for the weather, and Lori didn't hear me. I've been praying to God for the weather because I wanted to give you an update on this building. Maybe next service I will. I'll bring an update on where they're at. It's not my building, trust me. It's not my. But I wanted to show you where it goes from being a flat land, a used parking space, to where they're at now. I drove by it on Friday, and it was just an amazing. It's amazing how far they've come in such a short amount of time. And so that's what leads us into our series, Rebuild. Rebuild. What do you see? What are we looking at? What do you see when you see rebuild, when you hear rebuild? And so we're going to talk about the story of Nehemiah, but I want to give us some context, okay? So you've heard that all of our sites are in this series called Rebuild. We're talking about the book of Nehemiah. We saw that amazing trailer that I'm just waiting for the movie to drop. We talked about trailers last month. I'm waiting for this movie. But we're talking about Nehemiah and everything that has to do with who he is. So let's go back a little bit. Let's give us a little bit of context. Is that okay? I was telling the group earlier when we were praying that I teach at Concordia. I'm a teacher, and my shortest class is 2.5 hours. That's the shortest class I have. Most of my classes are 4 hours, 4.5 hours, and 7 hours. So my biggest challenge is breaking down a message down to 40 minutes. You have no idea how difficult that is because I like to talk. I like to talk, and I'm not much of a texter, so I grab the phone and I call people, and then the comms team doesn't really like me for this because I'm always hey, can we just talk? I think it's gonna be faster, but everything has to be documented and everything has to go through emails, and I understand I do that, but I love to talk. My phone is an actual iPhone. Thank you. It's not, my phone is not called iMessages. It's called an iPhone. And so let's go back into the history. We're gonna talk a little bit about the history of where we're at right now in the story of Nehemiah. So the people of Israel, they get conquered by a king, and that king, you know, that's probably the name of your first son, Nebuchadnezzar. Okay, and so the people of Israel get conquered and taken to Babylon as slaves, into Babylon as slaves, and they get conquered by the Babylonians, by King Nebuchadnezzar. In that group, and if you've been around church, you remember, in that group, there is a young man named Daniel. Remember Daniel? Daniel, you probably remember the little felt boards in Sunday school, right? So Daniel is there, and he refuses at one point. He refuses to bow down and pray to Nebuchadnezzar, and so he gets thrown into the lion's den. Remember that? And then he survives the night in the lion's den, and then he comes back out. It was just an amazing moment in his life, and then he's there as captive. He's there captive for 70 years, and he knows, because he's read the prophecies from before, he knows that a specific number of years are determined for captivity. Is everything okay with them? Is that me? Is that me that's hitting the mic? No? Okay. A certain amount of time is determined for his people in captivity. And he prays. And while he's praying, it takes 21 days for an angel to come down to him. You guys remember that story? And then all of a sudden, he gets the answer. And the answer is this. It's a prophecy. And the angel of the Lord says to him, Daniel, there are 70 weeks determined for your people and for the end of all sin. What? Imagine receiving that message. That would be really, really neat. And so Daniel receives this message. He writes it down. And then all of a sudden, exile happens. So some of the Jews are allowed to go back into the promised land and start rebuilding the temple, start rebuilding the culture of the Jewish background. But they're missing something. Something is missing. They can't have a city. The city of Jerusalem was sieged. They can't have a city because they're just, if they build a city with no walls, then they're going to be in trouble again. So this is where we pick up the story of Nehemiah. When we pick up the story of Nehemiah, we see that God is planning something through him. So who is Nehemiah? Nehemiah is, he's got a great job. Well, I don't know. He's got a great job. He works at a great place. I don't know about his job being great because he's the cupbearer. He's the cupbearer to the king. And so what does that mean? That means that every time somebody gives a king a drink, he's got to take it first. And if there is poison, then we know we need a new cupbearer, right? And so you can imagine the amount of faith that he was working with every single day of his life. Please, Lord, let this not be my last day. Please, no poison. Everybody loves a king, including me. And then he takes a drink, right? But that was his job. But he lived and he had authority. He lived in the palace. Now, let's get right into it. Cupbearer. He's the cupbearer of the king. And so that's where we pick up our story right here. And so we see that Nehemiah, his friends come up to him, and his friends and his brother come up to him, and the first question that he asks them is, how's Jerusalem doing? How's Jerusalem doing? And his buddies and his friends say, you know what? The walls have been burned down. The gates are on fire. They're flaming. There is no wall. The people are in trouble. And his heart hurts inside. His heart is hurting inside so much so that he sits down. The Bible says that he sits down and he cries and he weeps for Jerusalem. He just got bad news and he cries and he weeps for Jerusalem. Jerusalem. It says that he did that for several days, and then he got back up and he said, "Let's go rebuild the wall." So when we receive bad news, when we receive that moment of shock, what do we do? Do we sit down? Do we complain? Do we ask why? Nehemiah says that he sat down, wept, prayed, fasted, and then he got up. He got up and said, "You know what? I see something." And that's where we're going to pick it up. Let's go to Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 17. Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 17. It says this, "Then I said to them, you," say with me, "you see the trouble we are in." Notice how he didn't say, "We see the trouble we're in." He says, "You see the trouble we are in. Jerusalem lies in ruins, and its gates have been burned with fire. Come," look at this, "come, let us rebuild the wall of Jerusalem, and we will no longer be in disgrace." Come, let us rebuild. You see devastation. And a lot of times this happens to us where all we see is heartache, troublesome times. And Nehemiah is saying, "You see all of that." Yes. And we're not here to deny the existence of that. But then he says, "Come, let us rebuild the wall of Jerusalem." In other words, great, you see it? Get up. Get up, come with me, get up, and let's go rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. And then he says this, "I also told them," in verse 18, he says, "I also told them about the gracious hand of God on me and what the king had said to me." And they replied, "Let us start rebuilding." And so they began the good work. What changed their mind? He announced to them how great God had been with him. You see, a lot of times, and testimonies are great because a lot of times we're living through difficult times. And then all it takes is somebody to come up and share with us what they've been going through. And then all of a sudden we say, "You know what? If they could do it, I could do it." They instill in us. Amen. They instill in us faith. Faith to move forward. That's why your story is so important. It's so important that you share the goodness of God. We sang it a minute ago. "All my life, you have been faithful. All my life, you have been so, so good. With every step that I am able, I will praise his name. I will sing of the goodness of God." Why? Because the person next to you probably needs to hear it. And the person next to you, we have no idea hearts or minds. We have no idea what people are living through, going through, experiencing in their lives. But maybe God put us in this moment for this time to tell this person, God is with you. You know what happened to me? God could do it to you as well. That's why we're here. We are here to rebuild his kingdom. Are you with me? But wait. That's the history of Nehemiah. That's the historical background, and we can get more into the historical background, and I love that, and you can tell that I love to tell stories. We can get more into the historical. We could even go into the personal, right? Because as we're going to see next month, if you come, when you come next month, we're going to get into some of the personal part of the story where Nehemiah, he's receiving this vision, he's receiving this mandate to go build, and all of a sudden, all of this opposition comes. That's the personal part. All of this opposition comes. And sometimes when we see opportunity, opposition presents itself. Great. We're going to look at that coming up, but not this week. Not this month. I'm getting ready. We're not looking at that right now. We're getting right into it. So we're going to roll up our sleeves because we're getting right into what I feel God has for us. And that is the spiritual. That is the spiritual part of rebuilding. Check this out. And I got my sleeves rolled up. Okay, remember what we talked about last week? Last month. I'm sorry. It's coming. I don't even know if I want to correct it, but you're with me, right? So you remember what we talked about in our last service? Walls coming down, right? So which is it, Selvin? Are we tearing down the walls or are we rebuilding the walls? Are we tearing down the walls or are we rebuilding the walls? Last month, we talked about the walls of Jericho coming down. And so we've got this vision of the walls coming down. And we know that the walls came down. How did the walls come down? By the shout, right? By the sound of the trumpet and the shout of the people, the walls came tumbling down. Amen? And now we are in this to rebuild. So we've got the walls of Jericho where they were towering and they were solid and they were strong. And we talked about that being those moments in our lives where we just can't. We have no idea what to do. The wall is just too big. It's too great. I cannot overcome. I need a miracle. I need a miracle because I can't in my own strength. I can't. I have done everything that I can, but this wall is too big. It's too tall. It's too strong. It's too solid. I just can't. God, I need a miracle. And then we've got Jerusalem's walls that are torn down in ruins and are burned. Jerusalem's walls are torn down. They're in ruins and they're burned. That's how I feel sometimes. Yeah, guys, I'm just like you. I go through the same thing you go through. And I feel sometimes like I'm torn down, burned. I feel like my everything that I do is it's not working out. What's going on? I feel like that. And then I'm reminded, who led the walls to tear down? In the story of Jericho, it was Joshua. Do you remember that? Joshua was the one that led the people. And as he's leading the people, the walls came tumbling down. Do you know what Joshua means? The Lord saves. That's the name of Joshua. The Lord saves. The Lord saves. Do you know who else has that name? Jesus means the Lord saves. And so Joshua is he's a shadow of Christ. The Lord saves. You need a miracle in your life? The Lord saves. You need a miracle in your life? We already know what to do. Announce the victory of Christ on the cross, and 3 days later, his resurrection. That is what's going to give us our miracle. But sometimes, it's not a miracle that God wants to give us. And so as a parent, I find that I can give to my children as much as they want. Well, maybe not as much as they want because I've got three of them, but I can give to my kids as much as I can give to them. And I love giving to my children. I love buying them stuff. I love it when they receive something cool and they're really surprised and happy that they got it. Love it. Everything Apple, they love. All right? And so that's all the gifts that we give at my house. But they love it. They love these things. But you know what's greater is to give them the opportunity to grow. A greater gift to them is to teach them. Teach them, for example, the value of money. Teach them how to appreciate what they have. And so I had a very, I had an amazing moment with my daughter this week, a really heart-to-heart moment where she was seeing some of the things that are going on around her life and asking me questions precisely about that. And so I led her to see that we are so grateful and honored to be part of God's family. And then when she saw that, she started tearing up, and I thought, yes, that is worth more than having AirPods Pro. That is worth more than having any type of gift that I can give her, for her to see the value in being a son and a daughter of God, to be in the kingdom of God. And so as we see in Nehemiah, as we see what's going on here, sometimes God does not want to give us a miracle necessarily. He wants to teach us, because that's the heart of a father. To teach us how to overcome. And to do that, do you want to know something cool? What does Nehemiah mean? If you've never seen this, check this out. Nehemiah means the God who comforts. Whoa! The God who comforts. The God who comforts. So we've got Joshua, the God that saves, and then we've got Nehemiah, the God that comforts. Joshua means Jesus. Nehemiah is, some of you got it. Nehemiah is the representation of the Holy Spirit of God. And so check this out. You can read it at home. Read all of chapter 3 of Nehemiah. Read all of chapter 3 in Nehemiah. There are 32 verses in chapter 3 of Nehemiah. 17 times it says, and next to him was so-and-so, and next to him was so-and-so, and next to him was so-and-so, and next to him was so-and-so. And all of these people rebuilt the temple, the walls, in 52 days. Those people were apothecaries, pharmacists. They were priests. They were families. They were children. There's this one dude, he said, I'm not doing this by myself. I'm bringing my daughters. And he brought his daughters, and his daughters are building the wall. And you want to go a little bit deeper in chapter 3? Just throwing it out there. There's one guy who gets named twice. How special is Meremoth? That's his name. I don't know. Maybe name your kid in Meremoth. How special was he? Because he gets named by the Holy Spirit twice in the chapter. Amazing. And we're going to look at that next time. So my question then becomes this. how in the world? Like, if you ask me right now, Selvin, can you come over this weekend, next weekend, and help me build a wall? I'll help you take pictures of it. We can do a before and after, right? Before and then after. But I don't know that I'm going to help you build a wall. I don't know the first thing about bricklaying. Like, I don't know the first, like, what do you do? I once helped a friend when I was 17 years old. I helped one of my buddies. Coincidentally, his name is also Selvin. I know. He's a real guy. He's a real guy. He really exists. He's 5 years older, but he got this contract to excavate a basement. And so he needed hands. And he said, "Selvin, come help me." I said, "No, you, Selvin, you do it." And it was like that Spider-Man meme. Right? It was like one of these, like, who's going to do it? And so I helped him try to ask, and I had the pick. Is it a pick? Right? And what did I know? I didn't have any boots or anything. I'm just doing one of these, and I'm doing one of these, and then all of a sudden, boom, I get my foot. Like, it just, like, I've got like three toes. I'm kidding. They're all there. But at the time, it felt like I had chopped them all off. Because I just went boom, and it was right on my foot. It was the worst pain I had ever been in my life. I'm not excavating any basements for anybody ever again. So I don't know the first thing there is to know about building a wall. I don't. But how do these people know? How did they know how to do it? Because they were empowered. See, there's a divine exchange that happens. There's a divine exchange that happens. Check this out. In our next slide, we've got the walls of Jericho that come tumbling down. Amen? They come tumbling down, and they become the ones that are in ruins. See, the thing that you need a miracle for, it's going to happen at the announcement of the Christ who died, of Christ that died on the cross for us. Those walls are going to come down. That is going to be in ruins. That is going to be burned down because the walls of Jerusalem are going to be towering strong and solid in your life. But how does that happen? That happens by the power of the Holy Spirit of God in your life. So you need a miracle. You need a Joshua in your life. You need Christ in your life. You need to announce him. You need power. We need the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit to build in us, to rebuild in us that power. You see, David had his miracle. When he was a young man, he received the miracle. What was his miracle? To be anointed king. But it wasn't a miracle to defeat Goliath. That was through the power of the Holy Spirit. That was through the power of the Spirit that David brought down his Goliath, brought down what he needed to bring down. And do you know what happened after that? That opened up the opportunity. That opens up an opportunity. See, the Spirit of God wants to empower you to open up opportunities in your life. That's what we need. Yes, we need miracles. For the things that you can't do, we need a miracle. But for the things that the Holy Spirit wants to teach us to do, that's his part. That's him. That's him in us. Amen? And this morning, Pastor Mark said something super interesting that I love. Jesus Christ on the cross, he shed his blood for us. And the Spirit is actually compared to the breath that we breathe. So the Spirit isn't the blood of Christ. The Spirit is the breath of air that we need. And so just like we need blood in our veins to live, we also need air in our lungs to live, to breathe. And so what Pastor Mark was saying this morning is so true, because air is in us when we breathe it in, but it's also around us, available to us, always, always. My children right now, they're going through this amazing exercise program, and one of the instructors in the exercise program said to him, "The more exercise you do, the more oxygen you're going to need, because oxygen is the fuel for your muscles. And if you're not breathing right, you're not feeding your muscles the oxygen they need so that you can perform." Whoa, the oxygen you need so that you can build your muscles. The Spirit of God is the oxygen we need to build, His kingdom. Are you with me? And so check this out. The Jesus says of the Holy Spirit, he says this, "But the Comforter," Jesus, John 14:26, "but the Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall..." How did these people know how to build a wall? Because the Spirit came upon them, because he shall teach you all things. The Spirit of God is going to teach us all things. And then in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, it says this, "But you shall receive power after," what? "The Holy Spirit." Say it with me. Yeah, some of you are really shy today. Say it with me. "But you shall receive power after the Holy Spirit is come upon you." So, what do we need? Do we need a miracle? We know how to get one. Amen? Do we need power? That's through the Spirit of God. And through the Spirit of God, they rebuilt the walls of Jerusalem in 52 days. Why is 52 days important? Because walls should not be built in 52 days. Again, you ask me to build you a wall, maybe I'll do it if you give me a year and a half. I was asked once my mom asked me to paint one wall. One wall, and I'm not even making this up. I've got witnesses. The wall was from here to here. It was just this, and up probably eight or 9 feet. Okay, so it was just this, like three steps. It took me 4 days. 4 days and like 10 coats. What do I know about painting? And so I had no idea. So if you give me some time, maybe I can do it. But these people, they built it all in 52 days. You know why? Because the Spirit was upon them, and it was this, one next to the other, one next to the other. There's a secret there. There's a secret there that God wants to share with us. You see, we spend a lot of our time, as the musician starts coming forward, we spend a lot of time building and working for the likes, the follows, the views. And we take a lot of time putting pictures on there that show a beautiful family, beautiful vacations. Nobody ever takes pictures when it's raining. But I want to tell you this. Our success is, stay with me, okay? Our success is in the like, the follow, and the view. Now notice how it's not plural. I'm not saying our success is in the likes, follows, and views. I'm saying our success is in the like, follow, and view. How much am I like him? How closely do I follow him? And how much of him can others view in me? You see, we call that, yeah, amen. If you've been around church, we call that the fruit of the Spirit. There are nine. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. The more we look like Him, the more the Spirit empowers us to do great things. Great and mighty things in His name. And so when we're talking about rebuilding, we need each other. We need each other because, check this out, Nehemiah 4:19. Then I said to the nobles, the officials, and the rest of the people, the work is extensive and spread out. We are widely separated from each other along the wall. Next verse. Whenever you hear the sound of the trumpet, join us there. Our God will fight for us. Oh, I don't think you got it. I don't think you got it. Check it out. The work is extensive. We've got people. This is what he's saying. We've got people over there in left field. We've got people over there in right field. We've got people in center field. We've got people over here. He's saying, we are too far apart. Come close. Draw near. Come close. Come close. And when you hear the sound of the trumpet, guys, it's the same trumpet. It's the same trumpet that was used for Jericho, for the walls to come down. It's the same trumpet that is sounding now. And at the sound of the trumpet, come near. Where you hear, wherever you hear the sound of the trumpet. What does that mean? What does that mean? That means when you come and we gather together where the name of Jesus is being proclaimed, there our God will fight for us. You need a miracle? Come. You need power? Come. Because this is the place of miracles and power. But that only happens when we rebuild. You see, rebuilding doesn't happen without you and I. The word rebuild can't be built without you and I. You need a miracle in your life? Come close. You need power to build your future? Find someone next to you. We're here. And you've always heard me say this. We're here for you, but we're here with you. Because I believe that when we come together, the Spirit of God is there. The Bible says where two or three are gathered in what? My name. There I am. What? Where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am. The name of God is there. Where two or three are gathered. If you need prayer and support, if you've got a vision, if you see an opportunity, let us build together. We are in this moment in time where God is using us to build His kingdom here on earth, here in Quebec, here in Montreal, here in Longueuil, here in Sept-Îles, here in Charlevoix, here in Quebec City, here in La Prairie, here in the world. God is using us, and He wants to bring power to your life. Power. Power through the Spirit of God power in your life to teach you to do all things. That I would rather learn and have the Spirit of God in my life where I can just pray to Him real quick and say, God, I need power right now. I need power right now. There's a situation in front of me right now. I need power to resolve it. I need power to resolve it. That is what the Spirit of God is calling us for. That's what the Spirit wants for all of us. To endue us with power. To bring life into our souls. And to show the world that He is God. The person next to you needs to see the Spirit of God in your life. The person at work needs to see this week, somebody at work is going to need to see the power of God working through your life. I don't know if I should share this, but somebody came up to me with a little bit of a rumor. It's a good one. I don't know if there are good ones, but somebody said, Selvin, I just want you to know that somebody told me that when they speak to you, they feel like they're speaking to Jesus. And I said, I giggled inside, but I said, amen. I said, amen. I said, amen. You know why? Because Paul, I'm not Paul, not at all. Paul said, imitate me in the things that I imitate Christ. I need to be like Jesus. You know why? Because He wants to be like me. My kids want to be like Daddy. I want to be like my dad. And so, that only happens through the power of the Spirit. So I want to invite you to stand. More like You. Empower us with Your Spirit. Teach us all things. Guide us. Lead us. Go before us. Be around us. Be in us. Show Your power and Your great work. Because you are the foundation. You are the rock on which we stand. You are the rock on which I stand. Christ is our victory. And in this place, we announce His glory. In this place, we announce His victory. In this place, we announce His death and His resurrection so that we can have our miracle as we come together and sing. Christ alone. Weak made strong in the Savior's love. Just one more thing I want to share with you. Daniel, remember we talked about Daniel? He received a promise. He received a vision for the 70 weeks of Daniel. Guy, we're gonna have a whole series on end times. It's gonna be amazing. But Daniel received a vision. And Daniel's vision was the same thing that that Joshua had received and Moses had received. See, when Joshua entered the promised land, it was an answer to a prayer. It was an answer to a promise. When Nehemiah received the order from the king, it was also an answer to a prayer, to a promise. See, Joshua entered the land and they took their promise. Nehemiah entered the land and built his promise. Nehemiah's promise was that through him, the clock of God would start, and that would bring forth Christ. The promise of Nehemiah was built. You see, when God gives you a vision, when God gives you a purpose, when God gives you something, you have no idea right now what that's going to breed forward, what that's going to give you tomorrow. But God knows. God knows. And that's why he's giving you this vision. That's why he's giving you this purpose. See, Christ is coming back. He's coming back. Will he find us building? Will he find us power filled in him? Christ alone, cornerstone, weak made strong, weak made strong, weak made strong, weak made strong in the power of his love.
Thank you so much for taking time to listen. If this message has helped you or edified you in any way, we'd encourage you to share it and post it on all your social media platforms. And we'd also invite you to subscribe to our podcast. Every week, our team here at New Life Church will be sharing messages to help you build your faith. You don't want to miss it. Join us again next time as we dig deeper into God's Word together.